We'll spend few minutes with Mr. Wadid, our leader of South Africa and many areas in Egypt, and we will have some time discussing the material Wadid will give us.
The idea was that we thought we've been having lectures and lectures, and maybe this time we'll do something practical. Something practical by meaning that we'll have a presentation that was presented last year in South Africa by Dr. Ines and myself to address one of the issues that they had in South Africa. So the name of it's a long dialogue. It's very simple. We have lots of slides, but we'll just go through them. We used to discuss lots of things between them and us over there, but most probably we'll not need to discuss all those matters with you with the experience we have here as servants. So we'll just go through most of it to show how did we tackle such an issue over there. It was God's gift of love. Okay, the thing is that when you want to give your family, you want to give your spouse, you want to give a friend or anybody from a gift, it takes lots of thinking. How can my gift give happiness to that person? And this is the same thing, or exactly the same thing that God did when he created man. He wanted to give him a gift of love, and that's he thought, what would be the gift that would please man? God created woman for the happiness of the whole mankind, not only man. Exactly as the same way when we think of giving somebody we love a gift to that person. But in the first place, why did God create us? The main reason was love. God created us because he loved us. And our Lord is the greatest energy of love. We take our energy of love from the Lord. And the Lord loved us, and this is why he created us. And that's why he created us on his image and his likeness. He created us an energy of love as well. However, God when he created man and woman, they had two natures. They had body and soul. So God created man and woman to live in a state of loving, using both their body and using their soul as well. The spiritual and physical expression of that love, when it comes to man, that God created man and woman, from day one it was sex. And this is an issue we had to address them, because sex is a major problem with them. They have lots of sexual relationships, and it causes lots of diseases. AIDS is a serious problem there. And the main problem is that it's a tradition. Getting married is lots of problems to get married. Mainly, it is financial problems. And sex there, it's very simple. And it's permitted. And it's a tradition. Actually, some of the girls used to tell us that premarital sex, or even a young girl that is not pregnant, would be a problem. They would think that something is wrong with her. And that was one of the issues that was addressed. I remember this presentation. We had two complete sessions of questions, the day next and the day after the next. Two complete sessions of questions, and they really opened up completely, and they spoke everything very so sex and AIDS was a real problem, and it is accepted in their culture. If a person is would have a sexual relation with somebody, they don't mind, but when it comes to marriage, they have lots of problems. You have to pay this, you have to buy her that, you have to do this and so on. But the parents would accept sexual relations between the young people together. Okay, then in order for them to enjoy life, God said that love have to be in union. in union with God. So there was God, there was man, there was the woman, there was women, living in harmony and unity and in love. God gave man one commandment: don't eat from the fruit, otherwise you will die. And the word dying was being separated from the Lord, but both disobeyed and both of them fell in sin. At this moment they were no longer one with God. At this moment they betrayed His love. At this moment they broke the union between them and the Lord, and their disobedience and man felt naked. When man's body is disgraced and corrupted by dissolving it through sin, this his body was doomed to death. But our Lord, full of love, couldn't leave us to suffer and to stay away from Him. So what did He do? He planned to bring us back to our original state of union and our original state of happiness with and in Him. He then made a great act of love. The only way that our bodies could be made holy once more was through His incarnation. And that's what He did, through Jesus Christ Himself, taking up our own bodies and our own flesh, and coming to the earth to restore our fallen nature, bodies that have already been fallen. When Jesus came to earth and took our own flesh, He made it holy once again. So we became holy through Him. But now our Lord gave us one other commandment: sex is not to be practiced except in marriage, when Christ calls it the holy matrimony. It is a return to the original state of heaven, where there was man, God, man, woman, and God, all in love together, living in harmony, living in unity, and in holy matrimony. What does Christianity tell us about our bodies? Lots of people would worship their bodies, the need of their bodies. They would worship the needs of their bodies. They would enjoy food. They would enjoy drinking, booze, and so on. They would enjoy being lazy and staying lazy, etc. Some people would even say, "Eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow you shall die." But what does Christianity tell us about our body? Christianity tells us about our body that our body is holy. And what is meant that our body is holy? What is meant that my body is holy? Our body is holy because it is the work of God. Our body is holy because Christ came in flesh and took our same body. Our body is holy because we receive the holy sacraments. Let us illustrate about those three points. Our body is the work of God. He made it in His likeness, and as He is holy, therefore my body becomes holy. The Bible tells us about creation. When God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness," then God created everything that He made. He saw that it was very good. We are manufactured more beautiful than the birds, more beautiful than the flowers. At the same time, we were holy. Adam and Eve, although they were naked, they were still holy. They were innocent, just like children. Every one of them, they had purity in life. Their life was pure, they had happiness, and they lived together in love. The second point was, Christ came in flesh and took my same body. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Even after ascending, our Lord chose to continue dwelling in our bodies through His Holy Spirit, which we receive from the very first moment when we are baptized. This is His will, His decision from the very beginning, that He surely insists on it. He surely insists that we remain holy, and He wants us to stay holy. He loves us and wants us with Him at all the time. The third point was, the body received the holy sacraments. And by sacraments, we mean that God is using something physical, a physical object, to sanctify it. It makes it sacred, it makes it holy. In baptism, He makes water holy and makes us holy. In communion, He makes bread and wine holy and makes us holy. In the holy matrimony, He makes us the relationship between the husband and wife holy. But what does the Lord tell us in the Bible? Or do you not know that that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have got, whom you had from God, and you are not your own, for you were brought at a price. We were brought at the price of His blood. We were bought. Just imagine that we are in church, and a garbage collector would go through the passage in between the benches with sack full of garbage behind his head, behind his back, and he's heading to the altar and wants to throw that garbage inside the altar. How would we react? How would we react? Okay, this is very similar. We do the same. If we are the altar of the Lord, sometimes we do the same. We collect garbage and throw it in that altar. It's the same. We do the same. To glorify God, we should be glorifying God with our bodies. Do we always glorify God with our bodies? That was the issue. Glorify God with our bodies. How? How do we do this? How do we keep our bodies holy? The goal we have to put ahead of us is that God's will is not just staying away from the wrong, but the purity and holiness of our bodies, the purity and holiness of our lives. One main issue is to believe that our body is holy. If we believe our body is holy, this way we solve more than half of the problem. If we have this belief in ourselves inside, the body is like anything else in the world. It could be two-sided, like in alcohol or drugs. Alcohol and drugs can be used the right way. Alcohol and drugs can be used the wrong way. The same thing is with sex. You can either use it according to God's will, or which is in marriage, or you can use it in a wrong manner or an evil manner. And whatever we do, we practice sex as we like, disregarding what the Lord tells us. What happens when we abuse our bodies? We show disrespect, we show hatred, we show scorn to our bodies and to the other person. Actually, we were emphasizing that to the other person. We were aiming to target the girls so that they would feel that their bodies and the other companion is disregarding or is not respecting the girl. And at the same time, it is disrespect to God who lives inside us through the Holy Spirit that teaches love and holiness. What does Jesus want us? Jesus wants us to be in full control over our bodies. As it is said, the Lord will punish men for all sins. We were warned that He is an avenger, and especially through such sin. Is it possible for me, after knowing all this, to disgrace His body, to disgrace my body, to disgrace this body that He have created, whatever mine or somebody else? So I'm not only disgracing my body, I'm also disgracing the body of the other person. Hopefully we look for that our bodies would remain holy. Sex is an energy of love. It's not an energy of lust. Sex in human beings is one of the ways explaining how our God is a God of love. What do you think God's aim was in putting that love energy in us? He put that energy so that the human beings can express their love to one another and reach a state of unity together with Him and in Him. When we perform love, the real love, according to God's will, we become one with each other in a state of unity, even without sex. Could there be love without sex? Sure there could. Sure there could. Sure there could be love without sex. Just imagine an elderly person who is being looked after by a young man, and they get so close to each other And when that elderly person is in pain, does this young man who is assisting him, does he feel the same pain or not? He does, because of love. So love is not always related to sex. So there can be love without sex. When God created man, as it was explained in Genesis, the second page immediately, the Bible says what? For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and they become one flesh. So they, when they become one flesh together in the Lord, it's a different thing. So sex is part of the way of living, but that is not the aim of the relationship itself. To emphasize this, how holy that relationship is, our Lord compared the relationship between Christ and the church to that between the husband and wife. It says in the Bible, just as Christ loved the church, each man must love his wife. Husband and wife become one with the Lord and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord blesses and he sanctifies their relationship together. Sex in marriage is different from sex in adultery. Sex in marriage, in front of God's altar, it's different. In marriage, it's the result of the whole, it's holy body. And it's real love. But outside of marriage, it's a result of false passion. It's a result of lust only. In the marriage, it's in the light, while in the outside of marriage, it's in the darkness. In the marriage, it is unity, while outside marriage, it's only pleasure. And that pleasure disgraces. And when it's pleasure, you only take and run. Lifelong committed, and it's a pledge. In marriage, it's a pledge. You go into church in marriage and you promise in front of God, you promise in front of everybody that I will take care of my wife. I am responsible for my wife till the end of times, for the better and for the worse. That's what we say. It's a pledge between in front of God and people. Jesus does this with us all the time. We have fallen so many times, but he never leaves us. He loves us, and we never leave us. He never changes. We had a pledge from the Lord that whatever we do, when we fall, we can rise again, and he still accepts us. So this is the pledge we count on. Sacrifice, in love, in marriage, it's a sacrifice. In out of marriage, it's selfishness. Love is completely different from what we see in the streets. In the streets, everybody is trying to get whatever he can get. You get something from the girl, and you don't care about her after that. But in church, it means only that one could lay down his life for the person he loves. It's never like this in the street. You can never lay down your life for the person you love. You are all thinking, what could I take from that person? And once you take something from that person, you are not really interested except to taking and taking all the time. The real love is that man should give his whole life for his wife and she the same to him. Again, finally, in marriage, love is, God is there when it's sex, and in outside of marriage, God is not there. So, sex is holy between husband and wife in God with love. Now, that's the issue we were always asked. What you are telling us is one thing, but our culture is something else. We go back home, our families, our parents, the way we live is completely different from what you say. They tell us it's okay, but whatever you are saying, it's not what everybody is doing. Everybody is doing something else. So why don't we be like the others? Why don't we live like the others? They always used to say, Saturday night we spend it, we do whatever we want to do, Sunday morning we go to church. There is no contradictions between the Saturday night and the Sunday morning. But the point is that we are different. And this is something we usually emphasize. We are different, and we should be different, and we should stay different. Why are we different? Why are we different from them? Here is the main issue why we are different. We are Christians, so we are different. Christ came to earth for us, and that's why we are different, and we should be different. He suffered on the cross and died so that we become different. He rose from the dead to show us and to make us different, and to show us that we also can rise from the sins and live a different life, a life according to the Lord's will. His will is our purity and our holiness. He offers us his flesh and body, and we eat and drink in communion so that we should be different. Remember Saint Athanasius when they told him, the world is against you. And what did he say? And I am against the world. So even if the world is against us, we have to struggle and try to do something and be against the world. Again, how do we keep our bodies holy? We have to pray and ask Jesus to help us to do that by his grace and by through his Holy Spirit. And always remember, as it was mentioned in Samuel 1, the battle is the Lord. He is, and the victory is from him. If we put all our problems in front of him, if we always ask his help, it's his battle, and he'll help us to do that. Another thing to keep our bodies holy is to repent. One should open his heart to God, confess, when I fall, I will rise again. And he's always willing to accept us. Again, how to keep our bodies holy? Avoid anything that can lead to sexual immortality. And lots of things lead us to that. Be ready to exert lots of efforts. Be always busy. Have self-esteem. Play lots of sports. Consecrate your senses. We should not look to others in an evil manner. If you are tempted, run away. Escape from that situation. And being able to escape, in itself, this needs courage. It's easier just to follow, but being able to resist, being able to escape, this itself needs courage. Love God as much as you can. Pray and do lots of prayers, because he is the one that will support us and help us. Have the Lord always between you and the person you love, and he will protect you from any harm, and he will bless your lives. Finally, we presented a picture of two of the servants that were with us at that time, Nancy and Samir. They were husband and wife. They all knew them. They all met them, and we put them together and to show them that they can be holy through God, and they have their love together in God, and love with God. Thank you.
Thank you, Adit, for your great lecture. It's a sample of how can we speak to the youth, specifically in the countries who they do not believe much in purity and holiness. And any questions to Adit concerning the subject? Marlene?
Okay, you have a point in this, but the problem was huge, and at that time, before we present this, we had lots of questions about that area, and they were accepting, and the girls asked us to emphasize that point. They said sometimes we feel weak, and we need to emphasize that point. So maybe that was the reason we focused on that issue.
Excuse me, let me add, by the way, Marlene, this kind of adultery is a major sin, because according to St. Paul, it hurts the temple of God. So it's like an insult to God in himself. Some other sins comes of the weakness of the people, like the faults of the tongue and some bad ideas, some laziness. But doing adultery is attacking the temple of God. It's like being an enemy to God. You are destroying the temple of God, of others, and myself. So it's a major one. We may not use this sentence But for some, they need to fear the problem of sin. They need to fear condemnation. Some accept salvation through fear. So some people need this. But for those who feel guilty, we do not need to use this harsh message. You understand? Many people, you know, have guilt feeling. So we never attack them. Those who feel inferior or have high guilt feeling, usually we speak about the love of God, about the forgiveness and the new life, and how their sins are completely deleted, so they can get their hope up. But for those who are, you know, mustahtirin, loose, we need to put the truth in front of their eyes. This sin is a major one, and it will end by condemnation, and it's a, you should repent, you should go away from this world. Okay, any other questions? Yes.
Okay, definitely we're not expecting people to change overnight. Definitely this was nothing. But frankly speaking, some did. A minority did. Okay. But others took them time. And that's why, as I mentioned, we had two sessions of questions about 1 hour the following day and 1 hour the day after about these issues. It touched lots of points there. And they had lots of questions. And again, they were very open about it.
By the way, Sammy, it's the same problem anywhere, with especially the youth, even in Egypt. Those who repent and confess regularly, they still fight the weaknesses and their thoughts, and some of them may sin, but they fight. So it needs a long way to walk. It's a continuous struggle. So just putting this in their hearts, the idea, you understand the idea, you are renewing their mind, you are putting new ideas that their body is a temple of God and the Holy Spirit inside them, and you cannot eat the body of Christ and drink his blood living in such sins. So this kind of new ideas will help them to fight. So some of them will change abruptly, but others will take long to change. Fadal Yashrif. Yes, yes, I know. You know, let me tell you this, like 80% of the whole world now do not believe in marriage. It's really a crisis now. In atheism, all over the world, even in Christian countries, they do not believe much in marriage. It's kind of relation, and you can break any time and make a new relation, and you can keep many relations on the same time. It's really a tough problem anywhere, so it's important to address this one. But for those who are living in this darkness, as Wadid said, they do not enjoy love, they do not enjoy security, they do not enjoy the light of God, they cannot pray, they feel unhappy, they feel always hungry. So we can start by saying, so you will not be remember the Samaritan woman had many relations, and the relation in which Christ visited her, she was not married even, but she was hungry, she was thirsty, and that's why he started talking about the water, the kind of water of the world and the kind of the water he will give her. So the Samaritan woman, she was not happy. So I'm trying to reach them through this point. You are not happy doing so. You are distracting yourself. You feel shame. You feel insecure. You don't feel love, real love. So I'm not saying you are very bad boy or girl. No, I'm not saying so. But you are deviated out of the straight way, out of the right way to go. So you can say the same message to even non-believers, because they live this life but they are not happy. And you can start it, you know, in an easier way than this. I know this is some sort of direct message to those who believe or who are baptized. Remember, Wadid and their group were serving Christians. They were not serving non-believers. But even for non-believers, you may say some of the truth.
I just want to add something what Father Dawood just mentioned now, that we serve people in the Orthodox Church. Okay, they are not all Orthodox. They were in the African Church, and they became Orthodox. Some of them are not yet baptized. Most of them are. Again, the issue is very serious, because the AIDS problem is getting very high there. Over 70% of them have AIDS. And you meet somebody and you know he has AIDS or she has AIDS, and you don't know next year when you come again or after 6 months when you come again, would they still be there or not? The other thing was that they feel that the AIDS is a curse from the Afrikaans, the white people. They were cursed by it. That's what the rich doctors tell them. And the rich doctors tell them that to be cured from AIDS, you have to have a relation with a virgin. And they went to the extent that they had relations with children of 2 and 3 years, even 1 year, to be cured of this. So it had to be severe. We heard lots of stories about that.
Okay, yes, this is a bit different. In European countries and some American states, they live together as a boy and girlfriend with kind of commitment. So there is kind of love and security because of the commitment, not because of being with God. But this kind of commitment is not, you know, very safe. It's just some word. So if they have some trouble together, they will leave each other. And most of them had changed their partner for some time. The second point, I cannot say that they are living in such a bad way like Africans, because they Africans just for pleasure, many of them, most of them, let's say. But still, they do not know God, so they do not know the exact model as created. The model is from the hand of God, I'm receiving my wife, so I should have the relation with God to stay with my wife. This is not a dialogue, it's a triog, it's, you know, a triple relation. It's not a double relation. I cannot make the relation with my wife away from God, because He is the one who bring her to me. He is the one who blessed this relation. So when He is out of the relation, it's this kind of relation, whatever good it is, it's not the God plans. It's not the light He meant. It's not the secure, the totally secured one. That's why, let me tell you this. In Christian marriage, if me or my wife get some disease which prevent us from having any relation, the relation will continue as husband and wife, and she or me will serve each other for the whole life, whatever the disease or the sickness. In most of the relations outside Christianity, this is not there, because the need, the personal need, the selfishness will go here. But being Christian with the self-denial, you can live for the other part, not for yourself. But away from God, you cannot teach people to love up to this level. They cannot deny themselves. They cannot reach this. This needs the power of God. You understand? So it's a bit different being in Europe, relations شكلها حلو. And I'm being Christian, this kind of relation will go into marriage. يعني it's easier اللي متجوز 4-5 أو متجوز 20 في أفريقيا. احنا بنطلب منه طلب صعب انه هيتجوز واحدة بس. انما واحد عايش مع الجيرل فريند وبعدين تاب ومسك في ربنا، هنقول له طب ما تدخل العلاقة في النور وتتجوزوا بعض. فاهمني ازاي؟ It's a simpler motivate يعني بسموها ايه؟ يعني تغيير يعني. Yeah, you understand. This is another point. Look, I'm not concentrating on the European or the Western pattern of relations. Actually, we are aiming at China and Africa mostly, so let's discuss the problems we face. Yeah, I understand. Thank you. It's a real complication. What Bishoy says is a real complication, that the woman here is the weak partner because she was 1 over 6, 1 over 10, whatever. And by repenting and going into the church, she will lose her husband. Even this one-tenth of her right, she will lose him. But actually, you know, we have to pay for the faith. When leaving the world and going into the paradise, into the kingdom of heaven, there is some payment we pay. تَرَكَ كُلِّ شِيءٍ وَتَبَعُ. If they love God, they can do many things. So we face this, I know, but this is the complication of the dark history and the problems they live in, not the complication of getting into the church. You understand?
Having several wives is not the main issue with the poor people. The poor people, they just marry. And when we do registration for the attendees in the conferences, somebody would just come tell you, my name is Mizo. What's your father's name? He said, I don't know. I know my mother's name. I don't know who is my father. This is very common. The other thing I'd like to mention here is that this year we had two of the servants that was served last year. They got married, and the husband is expected to be ordained as a priest.
Thank you, Baba. Thank you. Comment the Muhammad, as ever anything natural, God never created bad things. Money is a gift, but it could be taken in a bad way. Computer is a gift, but could be used in a very bad way. Body is a gift, but could be used in a bad way. Sex also is a gift, but it has its rules to be in the right way. This is the God's plan, and this is the model we should follow, and this is God's instruction. So by obeying God, we should go back to the original. Sin is deviation out of the right way God created man for. In most African countries, as far as I know, as we heard from Sayyidina Ambatumasu and Bantonius, it's very common. This is a very big issue in all African countries. It's a big issue. احنا قلنا ان دي يعني كده كده فيها ضرر ما اختلفناش. لا الولاد بيتصرف عليهم من نفس الاب as if he there. It's kind of separation هناك. يعني كأنه انفصل عن مراته لكن هو مسؤول يصرف. والكنيسة بتساعد لما بتلاقي اللي قدامها يعني فعلا عاوز يمشي صح. واخد بالك؟ لكن هو لازم ياخد القرار انه يعيش في النور. ما احنا بنشجعهم زي ما قال شريف مثلا, احنا بنقول لها انت ليه تعيشي بربع حق, انت لو انفصلتي عنده على فكرة هم ممكن يتجوزوا تاني في الكنيسة. واخد بالك انك يعني لو واحدة جوزها سابها خلاص عندها فرصة تتجوز تاني في المسيح, بقى تتجوز في النور. فاهم الفكرة؟ فاحنا مش ضيعنا الحق خالص برضه. yeah. Yes, as Sharif said, the focus more on the new generation so we can develop a better generation away from these problems. And we focus on their kids. They can be baptized and get the communion. I understand what you mean. But for their parents, طول ما هم عايشين غلط ما نقدرش نعمدهم أو ننولهم. Go ahead. No. الكنيسة ما بتتنزلش في كلام المسيح يا جماعة, خلوها قاعدة قدامكم. في كلام المسيح الكنيسة ما تقدرش تتخطاه. الكنيسة ما تقدرش تقول له طب نشيل الحتة دي يا رب من كلامك, لا هيفضل ده وضع غلط ما تقدرش الكنيسة تتخطاه. إنما many of them ممكن يجي late in his life لما يكبر قوي أو يقرب يموت. إذا كان تايب خلاص, يعني عاوز أقول he had no relations بقى دلوقتي مثلا sexual relations وبتاعه وهو حاسس أنه مريض, خلاص ممكن يتوب ونقبله برضه. لكن ما ينفعش أن أنا كنيسة تعمد واحد هي عارفة أنه كل يوم معزيت, ما ينفعش. ما هو كده يبقى مش تائب. هعمد واحد مش تائب ازاي؟ يبقى انا بكسر تعليم المسيح.